Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we will read from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge. Text 28. Shubha shubha palayar eva mokshase karma bandhanai sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto mam Upaishyasi. Translation. In this way, you will be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me and this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who acts in Krishna consciousness under superior direction is called yukta. The technical term is yukta vairagya. This is further explained by Rupa Goswami as follows. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjata nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.255. Rupa Goswami says that as long as we're in this material world, we have to act. We cannot cease acting. Therefore, if actions are performed and the fruits are given to Krishna, then that is called yukta vairagya. Actually situated in renunciation, such activities clear the mirror of the mind, and as the actor gradually makes progress in spiritual realization, he becomes completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, at the end, he becomes liberated, and this liberation is also specified. By this liberation, he does not become one with the Brahma Jyoti, but rather enters into the planet of the Supreme Lord. It is clearly mentioned here, Mam Upaishyasi. He comes to me. Back home, back to Godhead. There are five different stages of liberation, and here it is specified that the devotee who has always lived his lifetime here under the direction of the Supreme Lord, as stated, has evolved to the point where he can, after quitting his body, go back to Godhead and engage directly in the association of the Supreme Lord. Anyone who has no interest but to dedicate his life to the service of the Lord is actually a sannyasi. Such a person always thinks of himself as an eternal servant, dependent on the supreme will of the Lord. As such, whatever he does it for the benefit of the Lord. Whatever action he performs it as a service to the Lord. He does not give serious attention to the fruit of activities or prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. For ordinary persons, it is obligatory to execute the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. But although a pure devotee who is completely engaged in the service of the Lord may sometimes appear to go against the prescribed Vedic duties, actually, it is not so. It is said, therefore, by Vaishnava authorities that even the most intelligent person cannot understand the plans and activities of a pure devotee. The exact words are Tanra Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Na Buchaya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 23 verse 39. A person who is thus always engaged in the service of the Lord, or is always thinking and planning how to serve the Lord, is to be considered completely liberated at present. And in the future, his going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. He is above all materialistic criticism, just as Krishna is above all criticism. We will read the verse again. Shubha shubha palayar evam mokshase karma bandhanai sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto mam upashyasi. In this way you'll be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me and this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Maschityade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vachkapaturibhyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. This is a very beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Krishna in this verse is referring very specifically in a very pointed way to the immediate previous verse. Yat karoshi yad ajnasi yad juhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushva mad arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. And then he speaks this verse we're looking at today. In this way, you'll be freed from bondage to work and all its different types of results. With your mind fixed on me, in this principle of renunciation, doing everything as an offering to the Lord, Krishna says, you'll be liberated and you'll come to me. This is the basic principle of liberation. Do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, of God. Lord Sri Krishna, so whatever you can do, just like our young devotee few minutes ago, she was dancing so beautifully. What's her name?
Lavanya.
Oh, Lavanya. Oh, what a nice name. What a beautiful name. So, Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you can do, whatever you do, whatever abilities you have, and Lavanya, she can dance. Can you dance also? Can you dance also?
No.
I thought all girls could dance. Anyway. So she was... Oh, see, Lavanya, a famous dancer in the making. So you can dance for Krishna. Srimati Radharani She has 64 skills. Actually, she has unlimited skills. But they are categorized broadly under 64 headings. And some of those headings, they have a number of skills under that heading. So one of the skills is Radharani is a very expert dancer, and therefore she is known at she's known as Nritya Kishori. Nritya Kishori. Nritya means to dance. Kishori means young girl. A young girl who is just a superlative dancer. So whatever you do, whatever you can do, someone can dance, someone can sing, someone can speak, someone can cook, someone can do pujari service on the altar, someone can do some business, someone can teach. There's so many things. Someone can clean. Whatever you do, whatever you can do. Krishna says, do it as an offering to me. Tat Kurushva. Do that. Mad Arpana. As an offering to me. So of course we can all do something. We can all do something. Of course, generally people can do a number of things. Even children, small children. What can children do? They can play. They can play for Krishna. Play different Krishna conscious games and different activities and so on. One devotee I know in England, he has made a children's game, Krishna conscious snakes and ladders. You know snakes and ladders? Right. And so you follow all the, you move your little thing along, and if you end up on one space, then there's some ladder. You meet some great devotee, and then you go up. But if you land on the wrong place, then you meet some demon. You meet maybe Putana, and then you have to go down. So it's a very common game. I think we all played that as children. But it is done in Krishna consciousness, and the children play it. And even in their childish play, they're focused on Krishna. One of our devotees in South Africa, he is an expert, like one of the world's leading, one of the very leading in the world, puppeteers. He makes puppets. Some of them are not ordinary puppets. He made a puppet of an elephant. Like, not even baby, but a medium-sized element, elephant. It is life-sized. It's almost up to the roof. And it's an elephant. And he goes inside it and manipulates it to make it walk and move. So he's top puppeteer, it's amazing. So he did a puppet show. Recently we had a Rath Yatra in Pretoria, the capital of South Africa. He did a puppet show. Krishna is looking for his cow. Krishna has lost his cow. So it's just a simple puppet show, you know, puppets this size on the hands of. So there's Krishna now. Where's my cow? Anyone seen my cow? And there's a whole group of children in front. No, no. And Krishna says, well, if you see my cow, shout out for me. I'll come and catch my cow. So Krishna goes off stage, and the cow comes on stage, and all the children shout out, Krishna, Krishna, screaming for Krishna. And the cow goes off stage, and Krishna comes on stage. Did you see the cow? Yes. Where's the cow? He went that way. Krishna looks, I don't see the cow. Krishna goes off. The cow comes back on. The children scream, Krishna, Krishna. So in this way, he's engaging the children in Krishna consciousness, and they become so focused on Krishna, completely overwhelmed. So whatever you do, whatever you can do, everybody can do something. And actually, everybody can do many things. And whatever you can do it for Krishna. Just like Arjuna, he was a warrior. Maybe some of our young men here are warriors in the making. Do they play war games? Or cops and robbers? Yes. So Arjuna was a warrior. And it might be a little difficult to imagine. How can you do that for Krishna in a way which is spiritual? But he did. He fought for Krishna. And someone else is a housewife. And they can make their house Krishna conscious. Beautiful pictures of Krishna. At night, instead of watching television, have nice Krishna conscious program. And train the children to be devotees. And so on like this. And of course, cooking very nicely. Is your mother a good cook? I'm sure she is. So you can cook very nicely. Offer it to Krishna. The whole family has prasadam. Well, what more? That's the perfection of being a housewife. And so on, like this. If we dedicate whatever we can naturally do, whatever we are inclined to do, if we can dedicate that for the pleasure of Krishna, that is the perfection of life. In that way, we will improve our lives. First of all, we will improve ourselves, because when we dedicate everything to Krishna, to God, and our minds are focused on Him, and we are thinking that whatever I'm doing, if I'm cooking, we are thinking, will Krishna like this? How to do it so Krishna will like it? And so on like that. With the mind focused on Krishna, God, because Krishna is completely spiritual, if we remember Him, our minds become spiritualized. Our minds become purified. Just as if we associate with fire, we become hot. If we associate with water, if we go out in the rain, we become wet. Whatever you associate with, you become influenced by. So if we associate with Krishna, then Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master Prabhupada would say, if your mind thinks of Krishna, with your mind, if you're thinking of Krishna, how beautiful he looks, how he does different things, different pastimes. How can I serve him in this way or that? If our minds think of Krishna, means our minds are associating with him, then Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada said, our minds will become Krishnized. Krishnized. Just as when if you take an iron rod, a metal rod, and you place it in fire, and you leave it there, it's associating with the fire. It's in contact with the fire. In a little while, that metal rod will be hot. If you leave it there a long time, it'll be very hot. And then if you touch it, well, if you touch it with your hand, it will act as fire. It will burn your hand. Because through that association, it has become fiery. It has picked up the qualities of that which it is associated with. So this is the principle of Krishna consciousness, as Lord Krishna is saying here. Whatever you do, do it for me. Whatever you eat, offer it to me. Whatever you offer, meaning in a charitable type of sense, whatever you offer or give away, give it for Krishna. Give it to Krishna. And if you perform any austerities, if you accept any difficulties in life, do them for Krishna. Everyone faces some difficulty. Of course, generally people have to get up early in the morning and go to work. And who really wants to do that? I remember when I was young, I would go to school, and it was, I would say, every morning without fail for 12 years, I woke up every single morning thinking, oh no, I have to go to school. Unless it was a sports day, then that was a bit better. But generally, as soon as Saturday would come, it was, ah, what a relief. So it's an austerity. Who wants to get up early in the morning, go on some public transport, or even go in your own car through the jam to the office or the factory and just do some work? Who really wants to do that? Of course, people have to do that. But who really wants to? When Monday morning comes, who is feeling wonderful, I'm so happy, I can go back to work in the factory, how nice, and work like a dog and get paid very little, how wonderful. So it's an austerity, it's a sacrifice. We're sacrificing our time, we're sacrificing our energy to work. It is a sacrifice. Krishna's saying here, whatever austerity you perform, whatever sacrifice you make, do it as an offering to me. This is what Arjuna did. He didn't want to fight. He didn't want to fight. And he had many reasons for not fighting. Just like a housewife. At least my mother told me many years ago. There's a saying, a man may work. What? From a man, something like, a man may work all day long, but a woman's work is never done.
Yeah.
Is that what the ladies say in Malaysia? It's endless. If you're a housewife, you got it, you're working till everybody goes to sleep at night. And you got to get up before everyone in the morning. get them off to school and off to work and then tidy up after them. So the housewife may think, I've had enough. Let them wash their clothes. Let them clean up after themselves. Let them cook for themselves. Let them wash their plates. Do you ladies ever think like that? It would not surprise me if you did. So just like Arjuna on the battlefield, he thought, why should I fight? And actually he suggested to Krishna, you want this battle fought? You want this battle won? Why don't you fight it then? Why me? You fight the battle. Let me just do what I want. So people may think like this. Arjuna was thinking like this. And many people, at least sometimes, they think like that. That what I'm doing in life, some material activity, oh, it's difficult and not appreciated and so on like that. So why? Why should I do it? Why don't I do what I want? Arjuna was thinking something like that. But Lord Krishna convinced him. You should fight. You should do your natural duty. Arjuna was the warrior type. Big, powerful man. He was that type of person. Kshatriya. So you do your natural duty as a warrior. But do it for me, Krishna says. Do it as a service to me. Don't just do it. Certainly don't just do it for yourself, but do it as an offering to me. So, Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj here, explained about Arjuna that initially, as we said, Arjuna did not want to fight, but Krishna convinced him. And Arjuna accepted, all right, I'll fight, and he fought. But because he was doing it in that mood of renunciation as a service to the Lord, and not just so he could win a kingdom or he could defeat his enemies, but for the pleasure of Krishna. So Arjuna, when he was fighting on the battlefield, he was happy. Prabhupada says, actually, it was like he was dancing on the battlefield. And the battlefield, that's quite a dramatic place to be. Face to face with people. You have to kill them or be killed by them. Within inches of each other. Cut off someone's head. That's a bit shocking, isn't it? Or get your head cut off, that's even more shocking. So Arjuna had to do that, and he did it. But because he was doing it for Krishna, then he didn't feel that, oh, what a situation, and what are we doing, and all these types of things. He didn't feel any fear, because he was doing it for Krishna. In fact, he was happy. He was dancing around the battlefield, cutting off people's heads. So therefore, ladies who are housewives, can you imagine dancing around your flat, picking up the dirty clothes, and so on and so forth, cleaning up the messes, but dancing in great happiness, great joy, because you know you are doing this for Krishna. So actually it is true. Actually it is true. It is like that. And it can be experienced to be like that. It can be experienced to be like that. If one renders service to Krishna, and if one really accepts that mood the mood that I'm the servant of Krishna, I'm doing it for Krishna, for his pleasure. Let me do it nicely so he is pleased. If one accepts that mood, then one will find very quickly that whatever it is one is doing, that it becomes very wonderful. And one becomes extremely happy. Happier than one has ever been before. So this is liberation. At least this is part of liberation. Liberation from the difficulties, the challenges, the ups and particularly the downs of life in this world. Because it is not easy. It is not easy in this material world. Of course, people in the advertising business, it is their business to make everybody think that life in this world is happy. You buy our cigarettes, you will be so happy. You buy a Coca-Cola, and you will just be so happy. But unfortunately, we have to report to you. They're just trying to trick you to get your money from you. Because they themselves are being tricked to think, if we get your money by selling you our product, then with your money, we will purchase things which will make us happy. So they're promoting the illusion that you can buy happiness, but they themselves are confused, and they're also thinking you can buy happiness. But real happiness comes on that platform of liberation, that liberation from the entanglement on the material level. What is the basic element of that entanglement? The basic element is, I am the enjoyer. And I am, or could be, or can be, the controller. And I can even be the master. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna paraphrases the mentality, the thinking, the basic thinking patterns of super materialists, extreme materialists. And Krishna says, Ishvaro hum, aham bogi. Siddhoham, Balavan, Sukhi. It's very simple Sanskrit. If you understand Hindi, I imagine you can follow it. Ishvaro hum. I'm the controller. I'm the master. Aham bogi. I'm the enjoyer. Siddhoham. I'm perfect. Balavan, I'm powerful. Sukhi, and because of all these things, I'm very happy. I have one of my guru bhais, one of my godbrothers, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He married a girl of Russian extraction. She had a Russian name. The family name was, would you believe, Duki. Hindi Samastani? You understand? Duki? Yeah. Miserable. And her first name was a Russian name, Tamara. Tamara Duki. Or actually, Duke. Tamara Duke. And he would introduce her to people. This is my wife, Tamara Duke. Your suffering. And sometimes the people would laugh. Sometimes they would be shocked. And sometimes they wouldn't know what to think. Tomorrow, do. So, the materialist, though, and this, of course, is the, you could say, classic materialist, is thinking like this. I'm the controller. I'm very expert. I'm the enjoyer. I'm perfect. I'm so qualified. And in fact, I'm very powerful. And as a result, I'm very happy. But actually, they're not very happy. They're not very happy in this material world. So this here, Lord Krishna is giving, you could say, the recipe, the formula, how to become happy in this material world through becoming liberated from the conditions of material existence. Beginning with the idea that I am here simply to enjoy life, and whatever I do in life should be for the purpose of my enjoyment. If we become free from that misunderstanding, mistaken conception, and if we rather try to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, then we become happy. Let me just close by giving one other example from Srila Prabhupada, very simple but very nice example, to illustrate this point, that the idea that we do not really become happy by trying to make ourselves happy, but rather we become happy by trying to make Krishna happy. Prabhupada told the story of the hand. The hand, which for many years had been putting food in the mouth, but one day decided to go on strike. So many years I've been putting food in the mouth, I never got anything. I got nothing. Now, I'm going to take the food. I'm going to enjoy the food. So the hand went on strike, stopped putting the food in the mouth, and started trying to eat the food itself. I'm going to enjoy the food myself. So needless to say, it didn't work. Trying to squeeze the food in somehow. But he got nothing out of it. After a day, after 2 days, he was feeling very weak. Couldn't do anything. So then he thought, all right, I'll put the food back in the mouth. Let's see if it helps. So food back in the mouth. And after a little while, the hand felt, oh, I feel better now. I feel better. So you see, when the hand tried to address his own interests directly, he did not actually address his own interests. It was a misconception. It seems like it should be like that. Address your own interests, and then you're okay. It seems to be like that, but it's not like that. Rather, if the hand serves the whole body, puts food in the mouth of the body, then the hand is actually addressing its own interests in the real way. So similarly, we are part and parcel of Krishna. In material life, we think we'll do everything for ourselves, but there is a shortage of very happy people. There's a tremendous shortage. Rather, if we serve Krishna, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, if we make Krishna happy, we become happy. Just as if we look after the body, feed the body, the hand becomes fed. This is the principle. And in this way we become free from all the difficulties of life on the material level, on that selfish level of just looking after ourselves. So this is what Krishna is saying here. If you do everything as an offering to me, in this way you'll be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you'll be liberated and come to me. So we can become free, liberated from all these difficulties, go to Krishna for eternal life, full of bliss and full of knowledge, in the company of Krishna forever. Hare Krishna. So what do you think? Do you agree?
Yes.
Sounds like a good idea? You think so? Morally? Good. What do you think, son? What do you think? Yeah? Okay? What do you think, Beta? Good idea? Yes. Good boy. And what do you think? Okay. Right. He's another good boy. Yes. Oh, yes.
What if the person wants to come to Krishna conscious with the intention that he will enjoy life?
What if a person comes to Krishna consciousness mm-hmm. with the intention of just enjoying material life?
Yeah.
Or just enjoying?
Enjoying.
In general.
In general. It's part of his enjoyment.
Well, yeah. If he really gets the message, you know, you say coming to Krishna consciousness. If he actually comes into the consciousness, if he just sort of geographically arrives in the temple, here I am. That's different from arriving, entering the consciousness. Yeah. You know, if he just arrives at the temple thinking, I'm going to enjoy here. First thing, okay, let's turn on the television and watch Sazbi Kabi Bahuti. Anyway, watch something on television. And the devotees say, no, we don't watch television. Then he's going to think, oh, really? Then he'll say, okay, can I have a beer? And the devotees say, no, no, no beer, only milk and fruit juice. And he's going to think, oh, really? That's no good. Well, what about a hamburger? No hamburgers. Only Krishna Prasad. Oh, really? No hamburgers. Then he's going to leave. But if he actually comes to the consciousness, even if his idea is, I want to become more happy, I'm not happy enough. So let me actually take up Krishna consciousness. And what is that consciousness? It means to please Krishna and serve Krishna. And chant Hare Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. If he actually comes to that consciousness, he'll achieve his goal. Although, you know, anyway, if he is not so clear in his mind, Srila Prabhupada told the story of a thief. The thief in India. The thief was looking for someone to pick their pocket, steal from them while they're not looking. And he saw there's the temple and a lot of people coming and going. Oh, a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of people sort of pushing each other and very crowded. So I can take something from his back pocket. He may not notice because it's so active and like that. So let me go and steal there. In he went. there was a devotee giving class. He sat down. And the devotee giving class said, yes, Krishna is the richest person. And the thief thought, really? Oh, he had not heard of Krishna. Let me find Krishna and I can steal from him. So in the middle of the class, normally people wait for the end before they ask questions. But the thief, in the middle of the class, put up his hand. You know, like they do in school. I know the answer. The thief put up his hand. Where's Krishna? And the devotee said, well, Krishna's in Vrindavan. And thief, where's Vrindavan? So, well, you know, it's to the east, a few hundred kilometers. And the thief was just gone. I'm going to Vrindavan. I'm going to find Krishna to steal from him. So he arrived in Vrindavan and he was going to everyone. Where's Krishna? Where can I find Krishna? Krishna was not present on the planet at the time. And everyone thought, what an enthusiastic new devotee. He's looking for Krishna so sincerely. And someone said, well, where's Krishna? Maybe he's at Govardhan Hill. Go have a look there. So the thief ran to Govardhan Hill. And he's just running around the hill again and again. Krishna, where are you? Because he wants to steal from him. And everyone thought, what a nice devotee. Wow. So he ran around a few times just shouting, where's Krishna? Didn't find Krishna. So he asked someone else, you know, I was searching for Krishna all around Govardhan Hill. I couldn't find him. Do you know where I might find him? And devotee thought, well, maybe. Why don't you go to the Yamuna River? I hear Krishna is often there. So he ran to the Yamuna River. And again, up and down and around. Krishna, where are you? Krishna! And his heart, because he's calling out for Krishna and thinking of Krishna even in an improper way, but still he's thinking of Krishna. Just like we gave the example of, you know, if you put a metal rod in fire, then you touch it, it will act as fire, it will burn your hand, whether you like it or not. Whether you do it deliberately or by accident, if you just happen to touch it, you get burnt. So similarly with Krishna, if you associate, if you have contact with Krishna, whatever your attitude is, the purifying effect will occur because you've associated with Krishna. Doesn't really matter. In one sense, it's not so important what your attitude is. So his heart was becoming purified, and eventually Krishna appeared in front of him. Because he was just calling out and crying till he just dropped, until he could shout no more. Krishna, where are you? Bang, he fell on the ground. Krishna appeared in front of you, in front of him. Here I am, what do you want? And the thief looked at Krishna. And Krishna was so captivating. The thief became completely pure. And now he's no longer wanting to steal. He's just looking at Krishna. And Krishna said, I know what you want. You want to steal all my jewels, don't you? Well, I don't know. My mother Yashoda would not be very happy if you did that. And the thief said, no, 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 no. I don't want to steal from you. Now I've seen you. All I want is to be your servant. And he actually became a very nice devotee. So it can work like that. People may have ulterior motives in the back of their mind. In the front of their mind, you know, they may appear to be okay, but in the back of their mind, they're thinking, when are they going to serve lunch? That's what they're interested in. And they're sitting in the lecture like, yes, okay, good. But they're not really interested. They're just thinking of the lunch or whatever it may be. You know this fellow Steve Jobs? You heard of him?
Yes.
He just died.
Yes.
The computer man. He, when he was, I think, at university, he was just living on his own. And he was not being supported by his parents. He just had to look after himself. And he couldn't get anything to eat. So what, every Sunday, he would go to the Hare Krishna temple for the Sunday feast. And he said in one lecture he gave in Stanford University, 2005, he said, you know, like the Hare Krishnas saved my life. It was the only good meal I had in every week for like a year or more.
He used to walk 7 miles.
Yeah, that's right. He would walk a long way just to get a good meal.
So some people
come for even that reason specifically. There was a book when I was a teenager It was a hippie book, How to Live for Free in the Major Cities of the World. Where to go to get free things in the major cities in the world. And the name of the book was Steal This Book. That was the name of the book. I'm serious. And it said, if you ever need a free meal, go to the Hare Krishna temple in whatever city you're in on Sunday. And you know another thing it said? If you need a free pair of shoes, go to the Hare Krishna temple on Sunday. Seriously. Yeah. So people come for different reasons. But if somehow or other they sort of, you know, if it clicks a little bit what Krishna consciousness is, then they may become devotees. But otherwise, if they're just materially interested and they don't get the idea, start getting the idea, what is Krishna consciousness? If they don't start getting the actual consciousness, then they may go away and just take up an interest in something else. You know, pardon me for saying this, but it definitely happens sometimes. Some young men come to the temple looking for a young woman, and vice versa. It happens. It definitely happens. They're thinking, you know, it's the Hare Krishna temple, I'll find a nice, you know, sort of peaceful girl who's not going to harass me, and she'll be a good wife. It definitely happens sometimes. But then, you know, they're looking around, they don't see one they like, then they go to the Sai Baba center. Maybe I'll find one there. So it depends whether they get the consciousness or not. If they manage to pick up some Krishna consciousness or not, and then they can actually become devotees. Otherwise, if they're just curious, you know, then they may become curious about something else.
And if like they come to Krishna consciousness and they like certain part of the program,
right?
But they are also like very into material enjoyment. So what will happen? Will they like?
Well, it depends.
Like they like to go for programs. They like to go for kirtan. And they like to go for prasadam. Example, but they are not like.
They don't like
to Krishna.
They don't like following the regulative principles.
Maybe, but
Okay.
Maybe like, you know, they like kirtan, so they may not. But they also like Tamil songs. Both example.
It depends. See, it depends. It's like a balancing act. If you get enough on one side, then the one side wins. But if there's more on the other side, you know, then the other side wins. So it just depends how it goes. To what degree they have some sincerity, and to what degree they don't really have so much sincerity. Because people come and some people go. We see it, it happens. Someone we see, they're coming on Sunday, and you know, then after a while they're not coming. Maybe they only come for the big festivals. Then after a while you just don't see them again. Yeah. When I first joined the temple, on the Sunday program, at the end of the program we would have arati and then serve the nice prasadam feast. And we noticed at the beginning of the class, first there's the class, then there's the arati, then there's the feast. At the beginning of the class, it's not so many people there. By the end of the class, there's more people there. It's quite a few. Then the arati begins and goes on. By the end of the arati, oh, there's many people there. So we noticed some people, they'd come in at the end of the arati, just when the fan is being offered. So just, in other words, just in time for prasadam. So we called them Krishna's Fan Club. It was one of our jokes.
What happens if you initiate a devotee study?
Oh, well, it means that their Krishna consciousness has become mixed with material interest, material consciousness. And you know, the danger is, well, the first danger is because it's like a pollution, then the danger is, just like when water is polluted, you know, you get this bottled water and they tell you all the different minerals and things, so much sodium, so much calcium. So you can drink water with things mixed in it and it'll be okay. But you know, if the water becomes polluted beyond a certain point, you drink the water, you become poisoned and you'll become sick. Although all water has some pollution in it, but if the pollution reaches a certain point, you become sick. Prabhupada gave, you know, same sort of example, milk. You can mix water with milk, but at a certain point, it's no longer really milk. It's not milk with some water in it, it's water with some milk in it. Yeah. And it will act more as water. So if we accept some pollution, the body can deal with some pollution. But if it reaches a certain point, the body becomes sick. So, you know, we can sort of maintain our Krishna consciousness, at least externally, while, you know, some pollution is there, some sort of material interest is there to some degree. But if it reaches a certain point, then it'll really affect our Krishna consciousness. And for example, we'll lose interest in chanting. At least our interest will reduce. And then, you know, we'll lose interest. And then we'll start chanting less rounds, not 16. And then, you know, not attending the programs unless it's a special program. And, you know, like this. These are all signs that pollution has entered because in a manifest form, other interests are manifesting. They're actually showing themselves openly, other interests. So that's the danger ultimately, that one's Krishna consciousness will become displaced and the material interests will actually take prominence. So one has to be careful.
Yes. How to control our mind?
Ah, yes. Yes. The thing is this, the mind is very active. You cannot stop the mind, at least not for long. You know, just no thought. Not for long. After a little while, the mind will again start acting. So what we have to do, it's the same point mentioned here. We have to engage the mind in spiritual activity, spiritual thought, which particularly means to think of Krishna instead of thinking about the news, what's the politics, you know, what's going on in Kuala Lumpur. Rather think of the pastimes of Krishna and think how to serve Krishna. And carry out some service for Krishna. And while you're doing it, think about doing the service. So we have to engage the mind. Just like Arjuna, we mentioned Arjuna. Well, we mentioned about housewives too. He was a warrior. So Krishna didn't tell him, sit down, stop everything. Krishna told him, no, you fight. So he did his natural activity, but while he was doing it, he was thinking of doing it. He was thinking, you know, here comes this man, I've got to fight with him in this way and that, and here comes another man, I've got to fight with him. And so like a housewife at home, cleaning the house, etc., etc., but they should be thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. I'm cooking, not just for me, not just for my husband and children. I'm cooking for Krishna. I'm going to offer it to Krishna. How to do it nicely for Krishna. This is really the way to control the mind. Not just in a mechanical way, try to stop the mind, you know, force the mind. Something like
sometimes
that.
You go into different thoughts in your memories.
Well, that's right. But if we start engaging the mind in thinking of Krishna and thinking of Krishna conscious activity, then you find the mind becomes much more easily controlled and doesn't just go off into some thing. You know, like if someone upsets you, if someone criticizes you, you know, you're like this and that, the mind can just go on and on. You know, why they say that, and you know, you lose control of your mind. But if we engage our mind in Krishna consciousness, then the mind is not so much affected by what happens, what people say about us, what is going on in life. The mind is not so much affected. So this is really the way, the key to controlling the mind, so that it doesn't bother us, it doesn't cause us pain, and it doesn't distract us from things which are valuable. You know, Prabhupada told a little story. The genie in the bottle. The genie in the bottle. It's a bit of a long story, but the king and his minister, they got a bottle. In it was a genie. The genie came out and said, "I'll do whatever you want, anything, but you must keep me engaged, busy all the time. If you don't, I'll kill you." So they thought, no problem, we got plenty for you to do. Anyway, to cut a long story short, they told him, clean the palace. He did it in 5 minutes. They thought it would take, you know, weeks, but he was really fast. Clean the kingdom. They thought it would take years. It took him 15 minutes. Give me something to do or I'll kill you. So like this, eventually they couldn't think of anything else for the mind to do, for the genie to do. So the genie said, okay, I'll kill you then. And the minister said to the king, you know what my mother told me? My mother said, when the time of death comes, you must chant Hare Krishna. And the genie said, Hare Krishna. And the minister got an idea. Okay, you want something to do, so genie, you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the genie did it. And the genie said, okay, I did that, what next? And the minister said, well, do it again. And then again. And just keep doing it until further notice. And so the genie represents the mind. If we chant regularly, they got the genie to chant. He was just chanting and chanting and chanting. And he became a very nice genie. Instead of being a nasty genie who was willing to kill people, he became a very nice devotee genie. The genie represents the mind. If we don't keep the mind engaged positively, it'll kill us. At least it will kill our spiritual lives. Because it'll go off this way, then that way, and then it'll spin around. So we have to keep the mind engaged. And if you've got nothing to do, chant. Yeah. Got nothing to do, chant. If there's something to do, do it in the spirit that I'm doing this for Krishna. In this way you'll control your mind. Otherwise, you try just to force your mind. Stop thinking of that. You know? Stop thinking of the latest Shah Rukh Khan movie, Ra One. Has it arrived in Malaysia yet? Ra One?
There's no more South Indian.
Oh, okay. No, this is Hindi. Ra One is the latest Shah Rukh Khan. So instead of the mind thinking of those things, the mind, if we think of Krishna, the mind will lose interest. Because through thinking of Krishna, the mind gets a higher pleasure. If you think of nothing, what pleasure will you get? Nothing. Because you're thinking of nothing. So we should think of Krishna, and then through contact with Krishna. Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, fully conscious and fully blissful. So through thinking of Krishna, the mind will also become happy. So that's the answer. Anyone else? Any other comment or question?
No question. Sometimes, okay, maybe it is, I'm giving my personal experience. Sometimes the temple politics also can disturb our mind. So, devotees may not willing to come to temple. It's not due to pollution. not due to his own material.
See, you started talking of temple politics. I started coughing. It must be a pollution.
That is also called pollution. So it's not individual pollution. It's collective pollution.
It can be.
Collective pollution. That can create.
Can be. Certainly can. If a group of people, of devotees, share the same idea and they're, you know, really into it, it's a collective situation and a sort of collective consciousness develops. Yeah. So, well, it depends. You know, the authorities are running the temple. There they are. Someone else comes up with another idea. Instead of, you know, doing it like this, instead of, for example, having everyone go out on Harinam, chanting in the streets on Saturday, let's have everyone go out and distribute books, Prabhupada's books. It's another idea. It's a Krishna conscious idea. So what should be done? What shouldn't be done, should we say first? What shouldn't be done is now you've got the two groups with their two ideas and they start criticizing each other and, you know, and criticizing, oh, you know, the chanting in the streets is no good. Oh, the book distribution is not so good. All this sort of negativity. They should sit down and discuss, what shall we do? And then try to come to some shared conclusion. And if they're reasonable devotees, it will be possible. It will actually be possible. But if they are sort of prejudiced, or antagonistic, or, you know, if the other group, they actually want to kick the authorities out and become the authorities themselves, you know, that sort of, in any of these ideas or combination of these ideas, then it becomes politics in the negative sense. And we don't like that. That's a pollution. Because really, a devotee will not want to be in charge unless the other devotees want it or even insist on it. The devotee will say, no, I'm not going to be in charge. I'll just serve. So, but yeah, when it becomes very competitive and antagonistic and, you know, like that, that's then pollution has entered. And the same type of pollution can be shared by a group. And that's not really Krishna consciousness. It may look like it. And the people, like criticizing a devotee as just, in general, criticizing a devotee. Sometimes it happens. A group of devotees sit down together and someone says, what do you think about him? Oh, you know what he did? He did this. And the others say, really? What a nonsense. And someone else says, yeah, you know, I've had my doubts about him for some time. And before you know, you have this whole discussion going on about that devotee in a critical sense. And if another devotee comes along and says, look, You shouldn't speak about him like this. He's a devotee. If you feel he has some fault, go and tell him. You know, address it. Don't just sit there talking negatively and like that. And then that group may say, oh, this is Krishna conscious. We're talking about a devotee and how he should be a better devotee. So, you know, this is not Maya, this is Krishna consciousness. But Raghunath Das Goswami says, it's actually in Mana Shiksha, the instructions to the mind. Raghunath Das Goswami says, when you speak like that, then you may think, this is nice, it's Krishna Katha, it's Vaishnav Katha, and therefore it's purifying, like taking a bath is purifying. But Raghunath Das Goswami says, actually, it is like taking a bath in donkey urine. It's also a bath. It's also a bath, but it's very contaminating. So, you know, to discuss how to improve things in the temple, in the programs, in the festivals, in the preaching, etc., etc. Well, we want that. We don't just want everybody to be like passive only, and they're just waiting to be told what to do. We also want devotees to think how to improve things, because, you know, nobody has, you could say, the market on good ideas completely cornered. It's not just because someone is the authority doesn't mean he's the only person who has any good idea. And if he's a good authority, he will be trying to get ideas from others. So, you know, if there's a healthy atmosphere, if people have other ideas, there'll be forums. And the ideas can be seriously considered and some will be adopted also. But if it just becomes negativity, criticism, all that, that's pollution. Am I addressing your point? So don't get into politics.
No, I'm not getting, that is getting disturbed me.
Ah, right. Yeah, it's a shame. Sorry? Oh, Damada. We're continuing. Damada. Okay.
They were waiting for Guru Maharaj to come so they can go. Every year they do.
Okay.
So,
would
you like to sing?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada.